Welcome to the Military One Source podcast. Military One Source is an official program of the Defense Department with tools, information, and resources to help families navigate all aspects of military life. For more information, visit MilitaryOneSource.mil.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Bruce Moody. Today we are joining you from the commissary at Fort Myer, which is in Arlington, Virginia, which is next door to Arlington National Cemetery and down the road a little bit from the Pentagon. So gives you an idea of where we are. And we're in the commissary today because we're going to talk about something called expanded patronage. And if you're a veteran, if you're from a veteran family, or if you know somebody who is a veteran or from a veteran family, I really hope you share this episode because we're going to get into some really important details, because there are some details to understand, and we'll get into that. So I've got a bunch of people here with me, and they're going to walk us through all the details. And trust me, you want to stick around for those details. What we're going to do is folks are going to join us, and as they join us, they're going to introduce themselves. And Piper, I'm going to start with you, because my first question is to kind of give us a general idea of what is expanded patronage.
Yeah, hi, this is Piper Brenner. I am the Associate Director for Business Policy in the Office of the Undersecretary of Personnel and Readiness, also referred to as PNR. So expanded patronage came around with the National Defense Authorization Act of fiscal year 2019. It included the Purple Heart and Disabled Veterans Equal Access Act of 2018. We also refer to this as the Patronage Expansion Act. This act expanded patronage, or provided increased access to shop at or use certain facilities on military installations. The Department of Defense implemented this expansion on January 1st of 2020.
Okay, so we've expanded patronage to, like you said, certain. So yeah, we're in the commissary, but it goes beyond that. And spoiler alert, that includes golf courses. So give us a general idea of where it goes.
Yes, thanks. So the Patronage Expansion Act actually includes the commissary, the military exchanges, and MWR retail facilities. So as you mentioned, golf courses, bowling centers, marinas, RV parks, those kinds of things. And I think here in a little bit, we're going to get into who now is eligible under the expansion, correct?
Yeah, we're going to spend some time on that. And this is where you kind of got to pay attention, because it can get complicated, but we're not going to let it get complicated. So we are going to get into who is eligible. There's different categories of veterans. So help us work through these categories and what it means.
Yeah, so I'll run through the list of who is eligible under this expansion. And some of my partners here may help give some clarity so that people understand what some of these terms mean. So first off, are veterans with a service-connected disability are eligible under the expansion? Veterans who are Purple Heart recipients, veterans who are former prisoners of war, and individuals who have been approved and designated as the primary family caregivers of an eligible veteran under the Department of Veteran Affairs, their comprehensive assistance for family caregivers.
Okay, so yeah, I know that was a mouthful, and we're going to unpack that. So, and there's a couple of things that we're going to unpack. One of them is caregivers. It's a category that needs a little bit of explanation, and Dan's going to help us through that.
Thank you. Dan, VA here. So currently, for purposes of shopping, eligible caregivers are individuals who are approved and designated as a primary family caregiver of an eligible veteran under VA's Program of Comprehensive Assistance for Family Caregivers. Eligible caregivers show their VA-issued caregiver patronage letter, which were just mailed out for FY 2025. And they need to bring this to the commissary to have at the register.
Yeah, that's important. The other is, you mentioned veterans with service-connected disabilities, and it is possible to have a 0% disability. And for that, we need explanation. So you are?
Yes, I'm Jeff Cherugino with the Veterans Benefits Administration. I'm a special assistant for DOD and Military Affairs. When a veteran files a disability claim, the VA is really determining two things. The first thing that they're going to determine is whether that their current condition is tied to military service. And secondly, if that's true, then they're going to rate the severity of that disability, how it functions, how it affects their day-to-day life. And that severity rating can range all the way from 0% to 100%. A 0% would be the most minimal impact on the day-to-day life. And though it might not provide monetary compensation, it opens up the access to other VA benefits like healthcare for that condition or life insurance. And in this case, what we're talking today is those veterans being able to come in and use the commissary.
So there's probably a lot of people who have served and really haven't taken the steps to determine what their eligibilities are, what their rating might be. If somebody has gotten out and they haven't really done that work, what should they do? What are the steps they should take?
Yeah, great question. If an individual believes that they have a current condition that's tied to their military service, that individual should file a claim with the VA. And they could do it several different ways. They can do it by themselves. They can go online. They can submit a claim through the mail. They can walk into in person or walk into a regional office to be able to do that. Or if that's challenging, they can get help from a trained professional. And when I talk about like trained professional, an accredited representative that's been accredited through the Veterans Affairs. And I'd be more than happy to make sure that I give a link that you guys can include or a QR code for individuals who are looking to figure out more. Or we also have a link that would let them know how they can check if the individual they're trying to get help from is accredited through the VA.
Okay, yeah, we'll definitely get that link in the program notes. Another aspect that I want to get into, it's called the Veteran Health Identification Card. Veterans refer to it as the VHIC. So there's a couple of aspects of the card that I want to get into. And one is that people might have a card that they notice is about to expire. And we want to get into what steps people can take. But first, give us an idea of what the VHIC is, why it's important to veterans, and what they do when it's time to renew it.
Hi, I'm Dan Luttrell with the VA-DOD Collaboration Office. Just to speak about the VHIC, that's the Veterans Health Identification Card. Veterans who are enrolled in healthcare with the VA are issued this card. And it has the service-connected disability status up in the top right-hand corner, which indicates your eligibility for this benefit, the SHOP. We have some resources available if you have questions about your VHIC. We have a 1-877-222-VETS number is a good resource, and also to visit your local VA Medical Center enrollment office is really a good way to connect with information about how to enroll in a VHIC or renew your VHIC.
All right. So let's go into the next step on this. Well, there's two steps. There's getting on the base, and then there's getting into the store or getting to the golf course or whatever it is that you're planning to do. And then to break that even further, there's the first time that you do it and then the times that you do it afterwards. So Piper is nodding and she is ready to explain all of this to us.
Yeah, so our veterans and caregivers, just like anyone trying to access a base for the first time, you need to stop at your installation visitor control center, and there you will establish your identity, fitness, and purpose for your visit. And when you do that, to establish your identity, that's where you present an acceptable credential. So this is where you would present your VHIC or a state-issued real ID. Once you've done that, then the next step is fitness, and that's where you undergo an on-the-spot criminal record and terrorism check that establishes that your fitness is to come aboard the base. And then the next is a really nice change that we've done recently. The eligibility for on-installation benefits now is verified electronically if you're coming aboard for doing the commissary or the military exchange or any of the MWR facilities. The system will automatically verify if you're eligible to come aboard that base for that purpose. I will make one comment. If you're coming to a base that doesn't have any of those facilities but does have a VA medical facility and you're trying to access for an appointment, you do need to bring proof of that medical appointment because that electronic verification won't happen. So I do just want to clarify that. But yeah, then once you've gone through that process and you've met all three of those identity, fitness, and purpose, they will enroll that VHIC or that real ID, and then for that reoccurring access, so the next time you visit, you don't have to stop at the visitor center. You just proceed to the gate, you present that ID that you enrolled, they will scan it, and it will let you through, and you don't have to stop again at the visitor center unless you have a guest with you.
Yeah, we want to get into that. So some veterans need a driver, and that driver may not be an official designated caregiver. So who can this person be? What does that person need to bring with them? And what does the process look like for them?
So it's very similar to what I just went through. So any guest, if they're 18 years or older, whether they're the driver for the veteran or just accompanying the veteran, has to follow those same three steps. They have to establish identity, fitness, and purpose. Now, because they are with the veteran, they typically won't be allowed to enroll their card. So each time they accompany that veteran, they'll have to go through this process. But yeah, it's as simple as that. And as always, we recommend, you know, if it's first time you're visiting a base or it's been a while, always call ahead to your installation visitor center to make sure that there's nothing unique or specifics going on that may impact your ability to bring a visitor along with you.
Let's talk more about that. And that is about just bringing in family members, friends. What's allowed? How many are allowed? What should they bring? And how does that differ from what we've been talking about?
It's really very similar, other than different installations may have different numbers of people that a veteran can bring with them. So as I mentioned, it's always good to call ahead, make sure you understand what that installation, based on their force protection at that time, is allowing, whether they're allowing you to bring just one person with you, two people with you, whatever it is. Just always call and verify so that you don't show up and get surprised that maybe something's changed since the last time you visited. And before we change, I do want to mention, for those veterans and caregivers that do enroll either their VHIC or their Real ID, that length of enrollment for that recurring access, it stays in effect for either 1 year up to 3 years, or from 1 year from the last time they visited the installation. So if it's been more than a year since you've been there, you're probably going to have to go through that process to re-enroll. And also, if you ever have to renew your VHIC or renew your Real ID, you'll have to go through that initial process again to get your card re-enrolled for that recurring access.
Okay, appreciate that. All right, let's just move forward to the checkout aisle. So we're standing here in the Fort Myer Commissary, and we're literally looking at the checkout aisle. And if somebody has gotten on the base, they've gone to the commissary, they've filled their shopping cart, what's next? And so it's a two-part question. What happens the first time they go through checkout? And then what happens after that?
I'm Kevin Robinson, Chief of Corporate Communications for the Defense Commissary Agency. And one of the things I want to echo or reinforce what my colleagues have already talked about, before you actually go to the store, before you actually come on post, please check your VHIC card to make sure it's current. And if you get through the base access and you're at the store and you're at the checkout, if you have a functioning VHIC card, if everything is current, there will be no issues. If, though, your VHIC isn't current, people will allow you to do your first transactions with your VA-issued service-connected letter, but that's just the first transaction. So the next time you come back, it is definitely important that you have your updated VHIC card with you.
Interesting. All right. Now, another question I have since you're with us. If a veteran hasn't been to the commissary in a while, they should probably know it's been changing over the years.
Definitely. This is not your grandparents' commissary. There have been a lot of updates over the years in the amount of products we carry, the quality of products. For example, commissaries now have a lot of coupons associated with them. We have private label products called commissary store brands, which save patrons even more money. And we have dietitian approved products and recipes, which help a lot of us who are trying to watch our weight or eat healthy make good choices when they're walking up and down the aisle. And last but certainly not least, the commissary is a good meeting place for the military community.
Yeah, you may not believe it, but this is a very, very social experience going to the commissary. And so I want to bring Stephanie into the conversation because you are the veteran and you've gone through all of the things that we've been talking about, and you want to share with us your experiences and what worked for you and how you went about it.
Sure. So my name's Stephanie Sipley. I'm a disabled veteran. I work in the military commissary, military resale distribution system. So I had the privilege of knowing very early on about the change of benefits in January 2020. I was already in the VA health system, and I was able to take my old VA ID card and go over to the hospital and in the enrollment center and get updated to a VHIC. It became very clear to me right away that a lot of people didn't really know about the benefits and the benefits change, even though VA did a lot in terms of pushing out email communication and social media communication. It just got kind of lost in the noise of everything that happened. So for me, there were several years there where I did not have access. And what is great about the commissaries is, beyond the private brands that they have introduced to make groceries more affordable, they have a lot of really key brands, and many of us are brand loyal. So for me, I lived in an area where there were about 5 or 6 commissaries around me. So I had access to be able to go on and shop for the items that I would always be looking for, the brands that I liked, at a surprisingly affordable price. So it became part of my normal routine to go into the commissary, buy those items, and start to try to bring people along. What I learned the most is most veterans don't know they have that access. They don't know they have that benefit. I also am a big fan of going to the driving range. And so having access to the golf courses, MWR activities, again, living very close to a base, it becomes kind of, why would I drive to a golf course? I can go on base and go do that. So in each store, I think that one of the biggest hurdles learning is, because of my job, I get to visit a lot of bases, and you know, base access is different everywhere. And so the biggest piece there is not to get frustrated, to call ahead to the base access, to the security office. They will help you. They'll tell you if you can bring somebody else on with you, or if you can't, they'll tell you how many people. They'll give you an idea if you need appointments. You know, it's always good to call ahead and get an idea for that first time, especially if you're like me and you're going to be accessing multiple bases. You have to get into each of those systems. So that's important too.
I think that's an excellent summary. Kevin, you want to jump in?
This is Kevin from Defense Commissary Agency. I just want to add that this is a benefit that veterans have sacrificed and served for. It's their benefit. It's their opportunity to save $25 on every $100 they spend. It's a great benefit to follow on to your service. But as a veteran who also shops in the commissary, please don't leave money on the table. So take advantage of this benefit. It's yours.
For anyone who has served, anyone who has worn the uniform, they may have moved on with their lives, but we're still here and we still honor them and we welcome them. And we know that when we welcome them, it's going to be with the person saying, okay, but I have a lot of questions. And that's okay, because there are going to be people at every point to answer those questions. Starting with this podcast, and I really mean it when I hope that you share it with people who are veterans so that they know first steps to take. Between the conversation we've had here, the links we'll put in the program notes. And so we really do hope you share this episode with veterans, veterans' families, to get their questions answered and to make sure they're taking advantage of the benefits that they've earned through their service. So with that, I will say thank you all for joining me today, and want to remind everybody that Military OneSource is an official resource of the Defense Department. We always like to hear from you if you have any questions about what you've heard today. Any comments? There's a link in the program notes. If you have an idea for a future podcast, also use the link in the program notes. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, because we cover a wide range of topics to help military families navigate military life. I'm Bruce Moody. Thank you for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.